Just past the bottom of the hour on this Wednesday edition of In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Troy Coverdale in for Brandon Peoples again today, and a busy group of folks with us as the Juneteenth celebrations again get underway tomorrow night, continue Friday night at Arts in the Park, and then on Saturday an entire day of activities that will be taking place, and we hope that you will be able to participate as well. Something that we wanted to touch on, though, as we've not heard yet from Dave Baker, and history is such a piece of this celebration this weekend, both as we look at it from the national history aspect of things, but the local history as well plays such a role in this weekend.
Well, Troy, yes, thanks for having us again this morning. And, you know, we haven't talked much about the mural, exactly what it stands for. And I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised when they see what it the story that it really tells. If you didn't grow up in Manhattan, you really may not know the history of Yuma Street, but it depicts the history of African-American life in Manhattan going back many, many, many years. And when this mural is unveiled, it is certainly going to tell that story. And so one of the things that I've been very proud of and being able to be and being a part of this is being able to help preserve history. There's an old saying that once history goes away, it does not come back. And where the new activity center sits today, that's where the swimming pool was. That's now gone. But the fact that that new building is there, that is a reminder that that was the swimming pool that the Negroes had back in the day. And so there's so much history on Yuma Street. People know who Tiger Woods is. His father grew up at 1015 Yuma, which is about two houses down from the activity center. The Douglas Center that is still well and alive across the street was a USO for African-American soldiers back in the 40s. And people may not know that Jackie Robinson, Joe Louis, both frequent that facility because they were stationed at Fort Riley. So there's just there's some great history in the southeast part of town that people may not know that this new facility is going to help preserve, and is something that, like I said, once history's gone, it does not return. So we're excited about being able to do the Juneteenth this year at the Douglas Park because it's going to help preserve that history that I just spoke about.
One of the things that stood out in my conversation with Eugene Bird as he was getting started in painting that mural was the fact that he learned some history that he wasn't aware of, being from Wichita originally, but did not know very well the story of the Exodusters.
That is correct. And I mean, there is just some history here that needs to be out there so people that weren't here back in those days, it's important. It's just important that we preserve that history. And I think this mural, when you see this mural, you will see that story.
Debbie, there are a number of sponsors that are participating in this weekend's events as well. They have been outstanding with their support of the Juneteenth celebration.
That is true, Troy. No event like this is possible without community support. And, you know, despite the fact that last year we had to cancel the event, you know, we had actually started fundraising for last year's event. And then as we got more concerned about things related to COVID, made the decision to cancel the event. Those donors graciously allowed us to carry over their donations to this year. So we had a little bit of seed money to get started. But, you know, right now we probably have, I would say probably about 75 community businesses, organizations, or individuals who have contributed financially or provided in-kind support to this year's event. And that's on par with the support that we've received in past years, and our events not as extensive as it has been in past years. So, you know, our donations, we have small groups that will donate as little as $25, and that $25 donation is just as important as the donations that, you know, are 500 and more. And so combined, we are really grateful to the community for their support for this year, because that's allowing for all these activities to happen that have been described earlier. So on behalf of the committee, I just want to say thank you to the community. We really, truly do appreciate it.
Betty O, let's touch on a little bit of the history from your perspective. As Juneteenth celebrations take place in the Douglas District this weekend, it is, as Dave pointed out, a place that is so replete with history.
Well, we didn't get to Manhattan until around 93. So I know that's quite a bit of time, but I spent a lot of time away. So I'm still learning as we go along. I pull Sonia and Mr. Baker all the time to school me on the history of Yuma and the, like he was saying earlier, of all the different celebrities that have been through here. So on that front, again, I'm still just kind of learning and keeping my ears and eyes open of just excited to just be a part of the celebration. So a lot of history, what I know of is that it was an executive order known as the Emancipation Proclamation. That was the effective date of that January 1st of 1863. So again, as a group of people, we've come a long way, and they tell us we still got a ways to go. And I understand that. And it's the little small pebbles that we drop of celebrations like this, of opening up to the community, that people can, you know, get a chance to experience Juneteenth for themselves instead of thinking that it's just this box, and if you don't fit in that box, you can't come out and celebrate. And that's absolutely not true. So hopefully people open up their hearts and just come out and celebrate. And, you know, if they want to be a part of the sponsorship, we love that. Come donate, come help out, see what needs to, you know, be done, and get involved in your community. Because again, it's about our community. We have a fantastic community here, but you have to be open to open your door and let us in and let us share some love with you. So that's how I see it.
Jardine, just your thoughts on that history of the district and what you have learned over time about the Douglas District.
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate Betty O's kind of dual consciousness of recognizing kind of the strife and the historical struggles, and also being able to celebrate where we're at and where we're going as a community. I will dare not try to make any historical references to the Douglas area, because I'm such a young person in this community, and also chronologically, let's be honest. But I do know that that area, having only been in Manhattan for 12 years, that area is a significant area in town for Black people. And I have been able to meet and to know the Bakers and to work with them in so many different ways since I've been a part of this community. And they have really just instilled the significance of why it's important to give back and why it was important for us to advocate as community leaders for the improvements that happened in the Douglas District, because that's where it started. And we cannot let that part of our history go. We have to continue as young people to get involved in the community, to uplift and to build on where things started for us here in Manhattan.
One of the things, Dave, that you brought up a moment ago in the run through of the district itself was about the USO, that you had members of the military from Fort Riley coming over and visiting in the district, because of the fact that at the time, even though it was in ways still segregated, the military was maybe one of the most desegregated areas in our country, and the men still needed that opportunity to be able to get away from the grind of being at Fort Riley and in the military at the time. And so the Douglas District offered a good spot for people like Jackie Robinson, Joe Lewis, but really military members of color at the time.
Well, that is true. And I think there was a doctrine, the United States doctrine at that time was separate but equal. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was for both men and women. And as a young man growing up here, you know, my mom worked at the Douglas Center and I spent a lot of time there. And I just remember the military coming there every Friday and Saturday and in the black community back then. And that was the place to be. And so that facility alone has probably more history in it than any other facility we have here in town, other than probably AME Church, which is the oldest church in town down on 4th and Yuma. So I just know from my growing up here in Manhattan, the history of Yuma Street in the south side of Manhattan is so important that we just can't let it go. And the things that we're doing today, I feel in my heart, we've done a great job at trying to do whatever we could do to preserve that history. And this weekend is certainly going to be a good show of that.
What are the ways that you have seen Manhattan as a community deal with race over the years?
That's a very difficult question. And I'm going to agree with Debbie as she spoke earlier. I think there are a lot of people that feel like there was not an issue in this town. And so I'm not sure that it has been dealt with in a way that could make things better, you know, over the years. I would say now I left town and came back. And so I will say things are much better today than they were back when I was younger. But I think people accepted things the way they were back then. And that's not the case today. So things have changed. This is a better place to live than it was when I grew up here. That would probably be the easiest thing for me to say.
It really comes down to the fact that while there's been progress, there's still a lot of progress to be made.
Without a doubt. And I don't think that's only here in Manhattan. That's throughout this country. And I'm agreeing with Deb, with Betty O. People have to come together. We come together for certain things and have no problems. Athletics, music, entertainment. We always come together for those things. But after those things are over, we have a tendency to go back to where we came from. And if we're going to have this kind of society that we want, then it's going to have to be beyond those kinds of things. This event makes those things happen. And that's one of the positive things about Juneteenth, not only for us, but for everybody.
And again, the activities get underway tomorrow night, as we noted the speech by Phil Dixon talking about the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City and the history of the Negro Leagues, as well as then on Friday night, Music as Arts in the Park takes place. Julian Vaughn is your headliner that he will be performing at 8 o'clock. Opening for him will be JaVale Roan at 7:30. And again, the activities then on Saturday all day throughout the Douglas District, Douglas Yuma area here in Manhattan. We'll wrap things up on today's edition of In Focus when we continue in a moment. Get some final thoughts from everybody involved in the Juneteenth committee that has joined us this morning here on News Radio KMAN.